Hi, welcome to Jazz Rhythm, an exploration of the lore, culture, and personalities of early jazz. I'm Dave Radlauer, saluting clarinetist Vince Catalica. In this hour, Vince tells about hearing his lifelong inspiration, Benny Goodman, at a young age, joining up with some of the top names in 1950s Dixieland music, and recalling wild times, such as dodging bar fights during World War II.
I can tell you that several times, to get away from the fights, I made my way down the bar, and I ended up in the girls' bathroom a couple of times. But I had no trouble. The women realized I was blind, so I had no trouble. But then I realized where I should make the turn, and I'd go in the men's bathroom till the fight was over. And boy, they'd knock over tables, chairs, screams. It was the way of the Saturday night. I was working 6 nights a week, and the 4 F's were working the shipyards and taking their pay and throwing it over the bar.
This is Jazz Rhythm, Jumping Swing, Classic Blues, and Hot Jazz, Old and New. I'm Dave Radlauer, saluting clarinetist Vince Catalica. Vince retired in 1994, about the time of this interview, and died in 2004. He was a bright addition to West Coast jazz and a pleasure to meet, talk with, and hear. Now, keep in mind, I was interviewing a guy born blind in San Francisco in 1923, and I was curious how he first became interested in music.
Like, I started September of 1935. Here comes another story, David.
Great. Lay it on me.
Aren't you getting bored?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, I started September of 1935, and my brother, who was 11 years older than me, was saying, have you ever heard of Benny Goodman now that you're playing the clarinet? And I said, no, Sam. You know, it was the kid brother routine. You know, he couldn't stand me hardly. So long about January of 1936, it's like I began to wake up. And I heard the original four Goodman things, King Porter Stomp.
King Porter.
And I got you between the devil and the deep blue sea. And I started hearing that. And I thought, oh, that's the clarinet. That's what Sammy's talking about, you know. So I was here. Here comes a story for you. I was in the school for the blind over in Berkeley. I was in the fourth grade. Benny Goodman got a job at the Congress Hotel, Joseph's Urban Room of the Congress Hotel. So the next Sunday night, the boys' hall, we had to go into supper, and I told the two men that were running the dining room, we were all in our teens, but the four men that ran the boys' hall were all in their late teens or early 20s. Mind you, this is 1935. Nobody had a dollar or a penny. So I told this one guy, I said, no, I'm not coming in the kitchen. I'm not coming in the dining room. I want to hear Benny Goodman. I don't care. I don't want to eat. And the guy was 19 years old. And he said, you've got to come in the dining room and eat, or otherwise I will lose my job here, and I need this job, so you're coming in the dining room. What I will do is you make a lot of noise with your knife and fork after you get in the dining room. I'll throw you out of the dining room every week, and you can make noise, and every week I'll give you my key, and you go down and open my room and listen to Benny Goodman play.
This is so that you could sneak out of the meal to hear Benny when he was on the radio.
When he was on the radio. Wow. They were giving swing concerts, 5 o'clock our time, 7 o'clock Chicago time.
WEAF, New York.
So then did you start trying to imitate Benny's playing?
Well, then I just, as I say, it took me 2 years to wake up. It's like, I didn't know. I was 12, November 10th of 1935. Once I realized that my sisters and brothers were working, my sisters also worked in the cannery with the peaches, and my two brothers worked on fishing boats, and my other brother, he sold papers here in San Francisco. And they all were doing something. And I thought, God, I've got to get out of here, and I've got to be able to get a job. And I met clarinet players in 1942, and they said, well, by the way you behave, you're not going to go to college. You should get out of the school now and start taking our jobs because we're all in the service. And I said, no, they want me to stay another year. And they said, well, go ahead. That's money you're going to lose because they were all in the service in the war, you understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stayed till June of 43. I joined the union, and I went to work about four hours after I joined the union because they needed musicians.
This was 42 then?
43.
June of 43. So you did become... Now, so you were playing in a swing, Benny Goodman style?
I was playing, by that time, I was playing tenor and clarinet. I was playing jumping out the woodside on my Busher tenor, and we had a trumpet, tenor, bass, drums, and piano, and we accompanied about 4 or 5 girls who'd come up there and sing. Some would strip. And I did that for 6 months.
Do you remember what the place was called?
What it was called?
Yeah.
It was called the Tin Pan Alley. We played behind the bar. You had to get underneath the bar and then climb 5 steps, no railing, and you were on the bandstand. Now, in those days, they had what they called the Shore Patrol and the MPs, and they kept the 4 F's away from the soldiers and sailors and Marines. And several nights
Was that a sort of fight? Was that
God. I mean, I can tell you that several times I made my way down the bar and I ended up in the girls' bathroom a couple of times to get away from the fights.
Oh, boy.
You know, but I had no trouble. The women realized I was blind, so I had no trouble. But then I realized where I should make the turn, and I'd go in the men's bathroom till the fight was over. And boy, they'd knock over tables, chairs, screams. It was the way of the Saturday night because all the 4 F's went out, all of us 4 F's that were, I was working 6 nights a week, and the 4 F's were working the shipyards and taking their pay and throwing it over the bar.
A good man is hard to find.
You always seem to get the other kind. Just when you think you've found a real true pal, you look around and find a fool with some other gal, and you weave, tear your hair and gray to see that rascal lying in his grave. Now if your man is nice, baby, take my advice and hug him every morning, kiss him every night, give him lots of loving, baby. You gotta treat him right, 'cause a good man, honey child, is hard to find.
A good man is hard to find, or, as in his case, a goodman, a Benny Goodman, was good to find. Vince Catalica describing his earliest job playing music on the home front during World War II. That was trombonist Jack Sheedy's Dixieland Jazz Band, Vince on clarinet from a rare 78 RPM disc from 1949. Still ahead during this wide-ranging discussion, live, rare, and exclusive recordings from Vince Catalica's half-century in jazz. Next, he describes the events leading up to a mid-1950s album he made with trumpeter Marty Marsala.
I played in the Monterey Jazz Festival of 1958. Peanuts Hucko was playing with Louis Armstrong, and I guess, I don't know if it was Trummy Young or Jack Tigon, I don't remember. But after our performances this particular night, we went to a nightclub and we proceeded to jam, and I just blew Peanuts out of the room. You know, this is a hell of a thing for me to say. So from then on, we went to a private party in a great big hall. Now we're at 3 o'clock in the morning. Marty Marsala, you know, the trumpet player. A record was made previous to that called Jazz at the San Francisco Waterfront on ABC Paramount. It was made in the high school in Carmel. But I want to say, we got to this private party 3 o'clock, and within two tunes, he just put me away. He became so strong. We're still talking about Peanuts.
Uh-huh.
He became so strong, so Benny Goodman-ish. You know, Peanuts has led Benny Goodman bands since Benny's died. He's gone on tour. Uh-huh. He's a great clarinet player. But in the earlier part of the night, I knew I had him. But, oh, man, he just became so potent, so powerful that I just felt my way and just stepped off the stand, blind man style, And his wife grabbed me, his wife Pinky at the time, and pulled me away. And I said, I've had it. He was still playing when I got off the bandstand.
How did you get hooked up with Marty Marsala?
Well, what happened was that Jimmy Lyons did this concert by the sea with Earl Garner, and then he told Marty Marsala, get your group together. I want to do a concert with you guys down in Carmel. In conjunction with Bert Bales, the piano player. And Bert said, well, I want my clarinet player. Well, Marty Marsala said, I want my clarinet player. And so...
Who was his clarinet player?
I was his clarinet.
Okay.
I was his clarinet. He wanted to use me because I played a lot of trios with Bert. And I played after hours places with Bert. So Marty says, no, I want to use my friend Bobby Stoll. And Bobby played good too, but, well, anyway... It ended up that I got to go to Carmel and play this concert, and they recorded it and then released a record, Jazz on the San Francisco Waterfront.
We'll be right back.
Then they went to a club owner. His name was Lloyd Sanchez and his partner Mary Sanchez, who owned a place called the Bon Gusto Restaurant, but were interested in calling it the Cupid Doll, and they wanted a Dixieland band. So Marty said, okay, listen to this record. And there is some applause for the clarinet player on this record. And the boss said, that's the band I want. I want that. And Bert says, I'm not going to make it because I'm playing a Pier 23, but that clarinet player's name is Vince Catolica. And Marty said, no. He said, I want to bring Bobby in. He says, you bring Vince Catolica in or you don't get the job. So help me, that was the truth. And
How you got to play with what Marcella, was it at the Cupid Doll then?
That's where I got to play with Marty, and boy, every night was just as beautiful as the night before. He was very good.
I see Marty Marcella's address is listed here in the 1960 Leonard Feather Encyclopedia of Jazz as 654 Bush Street.
Yeah, that's right, Dave. Yeah, he worked here. He worked here around, and he was beautiful. Here we go with that title, Dixieland trumpet player. What he actually was a hot trumpet player.
Now, before we leave the subject of clarinet players, the name Artie Shaw.
Oh, yeah.
Ring a bell with you?
Artie Shaw is a brilliant musician. His last batch of records, though they seem to me that, you know, he was demonstrating his ability to look at a piece of music in 1954 or an arrangement. This was clarinet. I don't know if you heard these. Clarinet, bass, piano, drums, guitar vibes, and himself. And it appears as though, it sounds like he really had it down to prove to you that he could get it down. But the previous Artie Shaws were just, he could have gotten music out of a shoehorn. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I guess he had to whip this clarinet, whatever it took. You know, he couldn't get up and lead a band with a saxophone, you know. That's my opinion. So he started playing all this crazy, beautiful music on a clarinet. Like I say, he could have played it on a shoehorn.
It's a real pleasure having you here, Vince.
It's a lot of fun being here. I'm just warming up because I got more stories yet.
Artie Shaw in 1954, one of the musicians who influenced my interview guest, Vince Catalica. I'm Dave Redlauer, saluting Vince this hour of Jazz Rhythm, and we've heard from his 1958 album with trumpeter Marty Marsala. Still ahead, Vince and other live recordings from the 1950s and the 1980s. Promotional support for Jazz Rhythm is provided by the Mississippi Rag, a monthly publication covering traditional jazz and ragtime personalities and contemporary events. Information at mississippirag.com. And the Jazz Rhythm website is jazzhot.bigstep.com. In the early 1990s, Vince Catalica did a fine session with the Molasses Brothers that featured him with an excellent swing rhythm section. Given his choice, Vince picked a number of tunes from the Benny Goodman Sextet recordings of around 1940 that included the likes of Lionel Hampton, Lester Young, and Charlie Christian, such as this Charlie's Dream and AC/DC Current.
In 1972, we were married about 4 years then, I told my wife, I said, and my wife is very frugal, and I said, come on, I said, we're going to go to New York City to take a lesson from Benny Goodman. I said, we'll pay him a couple $100. And she said, okay. So I called Herb Cain. I've known Herb Cain since 1940, before I even got out of school. I said, I want to go to New York, and I'm going to take a lesson from Benny Goodman, find out how much it's going to cost. And I said, and make sure he's there the day that he tells you, because you never know what Benny Goodman's going to do from 1 minute to the next. So he understood that. So he called me back in an hour, and he said, you're going to leave on such and such a day. You're going to be at his house in such and such an hour, and he'll give you a two-hour lesson free.
Wow.
So so I took the lesson, But he played the clarinet. I played the clarinet. And we both played the clarinet together. And you see, the way you do it, you don't ask a question and then tell him another answer. I speeded things up by saying, why this and what is that? And I never questioned his answers. He's not going to have you question what he's telling you. Mm-hmm. So in the end, he said, you've been very good.